The following podcast contains strong language and very adult humor, which some listeners may find offensive. You can listen to the Joan and Jerrica podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
My guests today have made a profound impact on Britain's psychological and sexual landscape, and they have been invaluable to me too over the years as I have lost my way. Thankfully, I've found it again. I'm delighted to say that today's hour or so I'm spending with Joan and Jerrica. Before we begin the conversation, let me just announce a special exclusive that Joan and Jerrica have announced their first foray into the world of books. You can pre-order your copy of Why He Turns Away, Do's and Don'ts from Joan and Jerrica now, in advance of its publication on the 29th of October. And from then on, signed copies will be available from Waterstones. Joan, Jerrica, it's a delight to have you in lockdown. Can I start by asking where you guys are? Have you locked down together?
No, Susan. I live by the Regent's Canal, as some of the listeners will already know. I live very near the Maiderhill Tunnel, where I'm able to have easy access for my early morning swim up and down the canal, which is a regular event.
And good morning from me, Susan.
Good morning.
Sorry to interrupt. I just thought I should get across where I am, which is mostly in my castle up in the wilds of Scotland. But I'll be honest, I do take a private plane on occasion down to my Knightsbridge pad if I want a change of scenery. And I don't feel bad about that. I have lots of people to learn. Sometimes I just need a break.
And also, Joan, you're a key worker, aren't you? A designated key worker,
yes,
for your charity work.
Very much so.
So you can move absolutely about pretty freely.
Yes.
I was going to ask, actually, because under normal circumstances, you wouldn't necessarily be able to charter a private jet and just go willy-nilly home to home. But for you, because your work is so essential, particularly in these times, I guess you have a special pass. Mm.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes. And Mahmoud is a trained pilot as well as everybody else, so he's able to fly me hither and thither, and we have a lovely dinner on the plane and just, you know, make a day of it.
It's wonderful. And I Skype in from time to time just to join in a little bit, don't I, Joan? But yes, straightened times, really, as you know, Sue Perkins.
And have you found that your post bag has been bulging in lockdown? I mean, have people really been sort of crying out for sexual help?
More than ever.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Well, we're getting a lot of online bombardment, Sue, but we've both got postmen who are absolutely worn to the ground, poor fellows, with great bags and sacks of this and that and parcels and gifts.
Yes, dragging their bulging sacks up the driveway and chafing along the way. And we're not able to help the number of people. I think people are going into a quite sex-crazed state with this lockdown, either if they're living solo or in marriages that they're bored with. There's a lot of guys, very frustrated guys out there.
Poor fellows. I mean, you see them, don't you, pounding around the streets, sort of puffing and blowing and going, I'm afraid, quite often within 2 metres of an elderly lady, unfortunately. But I totally understand this, because you know, they're very sexually frustrated. They're finding it very difficult. Some of the women partners, if they're in a relationship, some of the women partners are being very, very annoying at home. And it's a very difficult, very tricky situation, I think, for some of these poor fellows.
So
I think a lot of... sorry, Susan.
Sorry, no, you go.
I'm slightly hard of hearing. A lot of these ladies, you see, are using the lockdown as an excuse not to have intercourse.
Oh, do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
So COVID is basically providing them with a get out
clause. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I mean, it's sort of become almost an epidemic in itself, almost a new virus in itself, this excuse mentality that these ladies are building into these relationships. And I'm afraid it's not doing anybody any good whatsoever.
What would you say to those women who perhaps have been a tad pestered by their menfolk during this very intense time? What would you say to them as regards, you know, how often they should be giving of themselves?
I think more than often, more than usual. You know, they need to be setting their alarm, you know, getting up, doing a workout to keep the figure up, because a lot of these ladies are getting quite tubby. They're overeating. They're just finding all kinds of excuses here. And by the end of the lockdown, they're going to be out of a marriage.
Yeah, so many a lady, I'm afraid, not wearing a bra during the daytime is developing lockdown boob. We've had letters from desperate men with photographs of these ghastly, saggy, teardrop boobs that are emerging as a result of lockdown. You know, as Joan rightly says, it should be, it's a service that women should be providing, whatever the situation. And of course, in this current situation, men are very pent up. They're not used to not being able to control matters. And it's a very, very difficult time for them at the moment.
Do you have a rule of thumb, as it were, for how often women should be available sexually?
Well, pretty much constantly, really. I mean, I think we once sent out an advice sheet that said it's minimum six times a day to provide full intercourse. And then with the odd sort of fiddle or blow hither
and
thither.
Yes.
Between miles.
A couple of blows a day as well.
I mean, in the same way that men need a lot of meat, Sue, they need a lot of intercourse. It's just a fact.
No, I mean, and you've written extensively, I know, on that subject. I couldn't see necessarily where some of the deeper research had come from, but I presume that's personal experience that has led you to that conclusion. Because, I mean, for me, looking from the outside, six intercourses, two blows and a couple of you know, hand wafts, is that's a full-time job. I mean, is that really what you're sort of suggesting there?
Not really, Susan. If you're up early and you've nothing to do at the moment. What are people doing? Honestly, they really can. They can cook at breakfast. Whilst that's cooking, they can be having intercourse after breakfast. A quick blow. You know, just work it out through the day. We've got timetables. We can send out these pamphlets. And women are struggling with this information.
Oh, so you do actually, you can actually sort of provide an hour by hour sort of rota to help people through.
Absolutely.
In the same way that these wonderful parenting books give you an indicator of when to pop baby down for sleep and so on and so forth. Have a drink of water, look after yourself, but look after baby, have a routine, for goodness sake. It's the same thing in terms of intercourse and oral pleasuring and anal exercises and what have you. And incidentally, women should be keeping up all the pelvic and anal routines that they've been establishing, because those can all go very quickly to cock in a situation like this.
Also, Jerrica does have an online anal workout available throughout this period, so that's definitely worth tuning into first thing in the morning.
I mean, you've been called the anal Joe Wicks, haven't you? I mean, what you've managed to do in terms of really alerting the general public to maintaining their anus during lockdown is, well, it's commendable.
Yes, I mean, we have been likened to Joe Wicks. Obviously, we haven't brought one out for children in the way that Joe has, but it's not off the cards, is it, Joan?
Absolutely not. And what you really don't want is what's happening, which is called COVID anus, which is where they're getting incredibly flabby, and tired and unattractive. And it's just, again, time, everybody, to really get on top of your game. You're in the house. You're under real scrutiny at this point. So,
well, what about people who've locked down on their own? I mean, obviously, we've talked about people who are in couple situations and making that time, that real time and space to deliver all the necessary sexual functions. But for those on their tod, what do you recommend?
I'm wondering what they're doing on their own.
Oh, it's a bigger problem, you think?
Yes.
Jerrica, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm just rather shocked at the question. And like you, Joan, thinking, goodness me, if these folk are on their own, what on earth have they been doing? It's not comfortable always to have to point the finger at lonely folk, Sue. But, I'm afraid if you're not looking after yourself and you're not working on your general disposition, you're not attracting a mate, then you're not doing something right, are you? In fact, you're doing something very, very wrong.
So the horse has already bolted there. They're too late for tips. If they're on their own, it's already game over.
Yes, I think that's right. And all you can do is have a jolly good think about why you're there and think about ways to change things. I mean, goodness me, we've all got time to be creative and think about new ways of being me, as it were. And I would recommend that these ladies spend more time thinking about that. If it's a man, it's a different story, really, isn't it, Joan? I mean, I think men struggle a lot more. They're very vulnerable. They're very, they're a lot of responsibilities imposed on these poor fellas. And
absolutely. I mean, they just have to make use of things around the home or a pet if they have one. But I know you do also recommend, Jerrica, you do have a wee little online workshop for ladies alone to do with masturbation to some degree, if they're still thinking that they're in with a chance when this is all over, to try and get back in the saddle.
Yes, well, you've got to keep everything sort of working, haven't you, Joan, and oiled and accessible. And what we don't want is, again, you've talked about COVID anus. There's also a condition called corona womb, where people are essentially, their wombs are sealing off due to corona and lack of penetration. What happens is that the body goes into a sort of almost like a toxic shock, and it'll go from
a lockdown.
Absolutely. And toxic lockdown, and the vagina will start to seal up over the course of time, and eventually that will lock off the womb, literally lock down the womb, and then you're really done for. So you do need to be keeping orifices healthy, open, and penetrable.
Open for business.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. How long before, I mean, people listening will worry about lockdown vagina. How long, in your experience, does it take before the final seal?
It varies, really, to be honest, Sue, depending on the age of the lady and how much intercourse she's enjoyed over the period of her life. It's concerning. It can be 4 days, Sue, depending on what condition the lady's in. But if it's a younger lady who's kept herself in trim and used plenty of vaginal stretching and various implements around the place in the meantime, then she should be able to last for the recommended lockdown, which our Prime Minister has so carefully explained.
It's all very curiously though, there are interestingly older ladies who actually take ages for their vaginas to seal. We're not sure what they're doing at home, if they're using spoons or something to sort of stir things around and keep things open. Or clamping them open with sort of bulldog clips or something. But
coffee plungers, Joan, haven't we heard about?
Yeah, absolutely.
So lots of inventive folk ferreting about the drawers and cupboards and finding bits and bobs to use.
People don't really talk about, do they? They talk about, you know, how creative we've all become. We've all taken up knitting and crocheting. But you're right, no one's really stopped to think about how creative people have got in terms of vaginal plunging.
Absolutely. I think it's a taboo too, isn't it, really? People try not to talk about this stuff, and this is what we're here to talk about. And not just that, obviously we have so much more to us than just body talk about genitals or whatever.
Absolutely. We would want to issue a word of warning, of course, which is that people are using all sorts of wonderful and interesting and different new items about the house. But, they're sometimes going a bit wild and getting a bit overexcited. And we've seen a drastic increase in anal fissures over this time, which is a very sore and nasty anus, which will need treatment. And ordinarily, of course, you'd just pop down to the GP and get some cream, pop a couple of stitches in. That can't happen now, so people are having to sort of stitch up their own orifices if they get little tears and so on.
And you've heard of that. People have been writing in going, I've had to sort this out myself.
Yes, but again, people are inventive. You know, as you say, people are knitting. They're sort of knitting little patches to pop on, or using the new sewing kit that they had the foresight to order before we were all shut down. So it's not the end of the world.
And I don't like to be a sort of the blot on the landscape, but some of your critics, and there are only very few, would say that you so often focus on what the women can be doing. How do you answer that,
Joan?
Well, I think, Sue, as a woman to a woman, there's three women here on there between us.
There's one man I can see who's a sort of technical person, is he?
Yes, we have him.
Oh, wonderful. Thank, thank goodness we have a guy here to do the technical stuff, because we certainly wouldn't know what to do, would we?
Absolutely lost.
I think we focus on women because it's their job. Are you still there, Sue?
I'm very much... I mean, I think we're all of a mindset. I mean, but out there in the big wide world, there are some people that would just say that your emphasis is too strong. It's too strong. What can the fellas be doing, you know, to kind of, you know, make lockdown easier for their women? Do you have a take?
Are they not doing enough? See, I mean, they've had to work their socks off for years. This is a rest for them that is very, very much deserved.
You know, they're trying their best to get to produce vaccines for us, and you know, all sorts of wonderful. I mean, you know, I think that the administration over in America is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. A lot of great guys over there using their heads. And similarly over here, you know, thank goodness we've very few women in high government positions. You know, there's a lot of weight on these guys' shoulders, and the very least you can do is you know, have your mouth toned and freshly available for a session in the broom cupboard when the kids are reading or watching television.
Yeah, I mean, that seems right. I mean, it seems a practical solution, and that's what you're both known for, is this no-nonsense pragmatic approach to relationships that have saved so many marriages from what I can gather.
Bless you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Well, this is why we're designated key workers, particularly Joan, obviously. She has a lot of travelling to do. I'm lucky. I've got a studio. I'm in the basement studio right now in... just which actually you can hear the canal sloshing past outside. Probably, can you hear that?
Yeah. Is Philip still away in Thailand?
Is, yes, poor man, locked down in Thailand, can't get out. I mean, he's doing charity work over there, as you may know. Sue, he's wonderful. He's a very big giver, is Philip, and he's out there with these poor, poor little Boy Scouts who are, you know, the troop leaders have all gone AWOL, and he's the only one really holding the fort. And thank goodness he's there. So, you know, he's keeping me updated. I'd send over money. You know, it's I couldn't be prouder of him. You know, everybody's doing their bit, aren't they, in this lockdown?
Of course. How long has he been out there for now?
17 months.
Yeah, it's a while, isn't it? That's a long time. But thank God for him, though, because without him, you're right, all those... I mean, who knows what would happen without his guiding hand.
Indeed, I think the infrastructures would collapse, Sue, to be honest. But, you know, we're doing our bit. That's our bit. You know, obviously I miss him terribly. He's a wonderful company, very, very ebullient, and wonderful dinner party stories, and very flamboyant.
I always say, though, Sue, that Jerrica has the perfect marriage, because she only sees it like a couple of days each year, and it's so romantic. And he'll always come along with a packet of socks or something as a wee gift back from Thailand, and it's just gorgeous. Really is.
Yeah, it brings back men's socks for me, which I've got very, very big feet, so that's wonderful, in pretty plain colours that he's snatched up at the airport. But it's wonderful to be thought of in these sort of situations, isn't it? Just a small gift, something.
Well, it's a token, isn't it? Just so you know that you're in his thoughts.
And, you know, when I pop on a pair of beige socks in the morning, sort of size 9 to 11, you know, he pops into my head, and it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. So I feel very blessed.
Every dog is unique. That's why at tails.com, every dog gets a tasty recipe that's made just for them out of a million combinations. Delivered to your door each month. Easy for you, perfect for your dog. Listeners of this podcast can now get 75% off your first box by visiting tails.com/Sue Perkins. Tails.com is a brand new way to feed your dog. You tell them all about your dog, and they make a tailor-made recipe to match your dog's tastes, fitness levels, and health needs. From a million combinations, they create recipes which cater for chicken lovers, fish fanatics, sensitive stomachs, and everything in between. They provide the best nutrition with exactly the right blend of fibre, protein, fats, and nutrients. And there's no artificial colours, flavours, or preservatives. You'll receive one recipe for all your dog's health needs, whether it's sensitive digestion, healthier skin and coat, or sore joints. And they make it easy to ensure your dog's at their ideal weight with their portion recommendations and handy scoop. With one delivery each month, you'll never run out of dog food again. You can choose to pause or cancel if you want. To get 75% off your first box, just go to tails.com/Sue Perkins.
What about your daughter? Are you in touch? Are you...
Well, she's in and out. She's been staying on couches during this whole time. She claims she's immune. She does occasionally hold rather sort of ghastly, sort of lively, noisy parties down in the basement with her friends, these sort of multicoloured folk that she brings around, rainbow-haired, interesting types. But, you know, I try and keep out of their way, and I've actually built myself a whole PPE outfit. So that when they come, I know I'm not at risk. But yes, it's sort of life as usual, really.
Cardinal actually does have a theory, Sue, that lesbians are immune to this virus. I don't know your thoughts on that, but this is what she says is why she's having all these parties.
Well, it's... Listen, I mean, I can only go on hearsay. I don't have... I'm not a scientist, but it's... I feel very much immune. And I think, what else can I attribute it to other than my gayness? So I haven't tested that. I haven't gone out into the community. I'm still social distancing and pretty much isolating. But I'd be interested to perhaps, you know, get some medical data behind that.
Yes,
I think, well, yes, Jerrica's trying to build that up.
I'm trying to build up that picture. I do every so often, I try and do interviews with some of these folk that come round. But to be honest with you, Sue, they're a breed apart in a sense, Cardinal's friends, in that they're often very, very drunk. And it's very hard to get answers out of them. But they're a fun crowd. I wouldn't not have them there. It's a bit of company, even though I've got to keep putting on my swimming goggles and the full-length Mac that I've got and galoshes. But yes, it's you know, just trying to have fun, you know.
And I noticed the hair is up, very much up in the turban. Is that is that a COVID scenario, or is that sort of?
Yes, there've been some research, Sue, to show that hair can carry the COVID virus for up to 7 weeks. This has only just been discovered. You know, people have been talking about it's on cardboard packaging for 24 hours. And this is why Joan and I are struggling so with our post bag. You know, we're having to quarantine. We've got entire rooms full of quarantine parcels and letters.
And I've had to shave my head completely because I was just so worried about this whole thing. And for me, to be bald, it's devastating.
How does Mahmood relate to the baldness? Oh, she has got wonderful wigs.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Sue.
So not at all. I might. I'm just wondering how Mahmood sort of feels about the shaved head.
Well, to be honest, he finds it very sexy. He has been trying to encourage my growth to return by using his nasal to scalp massage, where he just swirls his nose about on the top of my head and puffs out bits of air and moisture, and that does seem to be causing a little bit of follicle sprouting. Mm. He says, luckily, that I've got the face to carry it off. So,
he's
keeping my spirits up. But I do feel sorry for other people who are bald. I mean, we love bald guys, Jerrica and myself, don't we? But for people who have had to get, or who will from this now, remove their hair for this theory of Jerrica's, for a lot of people it's going to be a very, very unpleasant look.
Not everyone's got this wonderful scalp like you, Joan, albeit conical, you know, but very, very attractive. And just, you know, I love the daisy chains that you make and pop round there, and very inventive. And it's always looked good, don't you, Joan? Very much looks after yourself.
Yeah. It is a very unique shape, isn't it? I mean, it's very. Which side of the family does that come from?
Well, it's actually from my birth too. I had a very, very difficult birth, and when on route on the way out, the umbilical cord was wrapped around the top of my head, which took it up into this kind of you know, upside down cornetto look that you see, which generally I've hidden with the very big sexy hair, but that's what I've been left with, and I'm. You know, most guys I've been married to, I've been married 6 times, have loved my pointy head. But, you know, I've had a little bit of bullying in my younger years. It's not something I've spoken about very much before, but there we are.
No, tragic, Joan, but it's made Joan the sensitive and, you know, empathetic woman that she is. And, you know, I often think that we're almost sent people, aren't we? People like Joan who come into the world and, yes, have a funny shaped conical head and get taunted in the classrooms. But look at the work being done now. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, it's a saintly, we often call it St. Joan, don't we? St. Joan, St. Jericho.
Oh, yeah, St. Goodness. Joan. Yeah.
Indeed.
I mean, you're obviously very, very good at being married. I mean, you've done it 6 times. You've really committed to that. It's obviously a state that you're very happy being in.
Absolutely. I love getting married. I love all the sort of run up to the weddings. And some people may or may not know, 3 of my husbands took their own lives. But I don't see that as anything to do with me or in making me in any way an unsuccessful woman. I just actually, if anything, I've offered these guys a little bit of happiness when in fact they were otherwise going to lead very doomed lives. So. Mm.
Mm. So you're known for it. You do bring a bit of sparkle.
Indeed. Shines a bright light within a very, very dark life. So they've had a little patch of joy where perhaps they might not have done. So I still think it's part of Joan's wonderful public service persona being carried out in her personal life.
What people don't know, Sue, is Jericho, obviously she's been with Philip for many, many years in this sort of distant but rather lovely marriage. But before that, when she was younger, she married, her mother arranged a marriage to a very elderly gentleman. And so she's got all her own, you know, we've got this very sort of rich background between us, haven't we, when it comes to guys.
And how was it with an elderly gentleman? Did you find it, were there any sort of challenges or complications that sort of presented themselves?
Well, I mean, obviously, Sue, as you can imagine, I was a very amenable young woman and keen to please mum and dad. And they found this wonderful, wonderful elderly fellow who, he was very, very charming, very, very nice. He was 64 years my senior. He used to let me out regularly, and I would go and sit by the pond and look at the ducks and have a wonderful time. And eventually he died very suddenly of arsenic. Somebody had somehow, we don't know how, got some arsenic into a cup of cocoa or something. And, he was found. And, the good news for the family was that he left an awful lot of money. Obviously I gave a lot of that. I'm giving a lot of that to Philip's charity right now. But, in a way it was very, very fortunate. He was very kind, a very kind elderly man. Mm. And the age gap never troubled me.
You were 15, weren't you, when you first got together?
Yeah.
I mean, the tragedy was that this money, this huge amount of money that he'd left to his other larger family, the tragedy was they all very suddenly died as well, didn't they, just after him? Meaning it all then got siphoned off into your bank account, which...
Yes, it was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Very strange.
A very odd sequence of events, and almost you couldn't make it up, could you, Joan? But I've been very, very fortunate. As I say, I feel very blessed. And so it's been a wonderful... I'm very lucky to have been able to use his finances in the way that I have.
Well, that's why you're in the canal side basement flat, of course. Because...
Indeed. Oh, and it's a whole house, Sue. No, I'm just speaking to you from the basement. But now I own the whole house. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And you have presumably Cardinal, as you say, has her separate space.
Yes.
She comes and goes. She brings the rainbow head folk.
Yes.
What kind of, I mean, presumably you, I'd like you to describe your bedroom, actually. I'm interested in the boudoir, because for both of you, this is the beating heart, is it not, of the house?
Well, the boudoir bedroom, for want of a better description, is painted black. Philip likes dark colours, and so it's very moody, very atmospheric. He brings home, as I say, these sort of wonderful men's socks. We've got those pinned up on the wall as a sort of decor. It's quite eccentric, Sue, but a rather rather exciting mix of this. And he has photographs all around of these wonderful lads that he's helped and have gone on to graduate, you know, often frolicking in the sea, having fun, little sarongs, and sometimes they haven't got anything on at all. It's a wonderful, wonderful, gorgeous sort of array of photos. And he wants me to keep it like that, so I don't put much of my own things in there.
Of course. And how about you, Joan? What's your sort of bedroom like? How do you like to keep things?
Well, I obviously in the castle I have several bedrooms. I like different ones for different things. So I've got my sleepy bedroom and I've got my sexy bedroom. And as you may or may not know, I have this lovely guy called Pierre who is this French guy who sort of lives in with me, and he's just sort of like a mini bodyguard in a way. I say mini, he's absolutely hulking, but we tend to stay in the turquoise room, which is very sumptuous with puffy sort of velvet ceiling and lots of billowing parachute salt coming off the walls. And the carpet itself is very, very bouncy. I just like to sort of bounce around the room and be thrown off the walls and so forth. And I mean, to tell you about all my bedrooms would be just to take too long. I've got my Knightsbridge home as well. So yes.
But so I each one's very different. Very different. So you'll decide on what kind of sort of sexy flavour you want, and then you'll go to the appropriate bedroom.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I could be in a very bright red room, like a sort of angry vagina, or I could be in a sultry brown, sort of slightly sort of moody autumn room. It really depends on what I'm getting up to sexually, and obviously that can change through the night. I might have a deep sleep for a couple of hours in one of my sleepy bedrooms, and then I want some action. But obviously I say this, I mean, I'm still married to Ralph, but he's in and out of the coma and he's up and down, so I do have to keep myself in trim and keep myself going.
It's interesting, isn't it, that both of you have had such trauma in your personal lives, and mm-hmm. you know, but both of your husbands
and yet
have
we're
suffered.
Still able to give.
You, I mean, that is what you're known for. You are incredibly giving, and you don't even need to be asked, and you will give. You will provide answers even when there are no questions forthcoming, and that is testament, really.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I mean, people sometimes say, well, you're trying to force your opinions on us, but no, you know, we know that we're doing a service. It's wonderful to know that you're doing the right thing, and the response is wonderful from our wonderful, wonderful ladies and some gents who listen in. You know, we couldn't be more grateful for their love, really, Sue, I think it is, and adoration and idolatry almost of us. You know, we're very, very fortunate ladies. And as you say, we've had a lot of trauma, but I think sometimes that makes you stronger, doesn't it? And gives you
perspective.
A perspective on how to help others. But, you know, even though we are, of course, very fortunate, both very, very well off. We do understand that people are rather struggling, particularly at this moment in time.
This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Best Fiends. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends is a puzzle game that you can play on your phone. You progress through different levels, solving challenging puzzles that actually engage your brain in a fun way that everyone can enjoy. I just made it to level 30 and only started playing the game a few days ago. And if I can do it, that means anyone can. The best thing about Best Fiends is that it doesn't take up too much of your time, but it is great when you've got a few spare minutes and you've had enough of scrolling through social media again and again and again. Whether you're waiting for a bus, queuing to do your shopping, playing Best Fiends will make time go by faster. You also don't need an internet connection to play, so you can continue to enjoy it when you're on the underground or when your phone is on airplane mode. The game's also visually stimulating with bright colours and cute characters, and Best Fiends updates monthly with new levels and events, so it never gets old. It's a great game to engage your brain with fun puzzles, and you get to collect tons of cute characters too. It's a 5-star rated mobile puzzle game on the Apple App Store and Google Play, and has had over 100 million downloads. And you can download it for free right now. Just go to the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
What would you say to the women who've been in lockdown with their husbands and for whom, you know, perhaps they're thinking of leaving, you know, perhaps the time together has not been so constructive, and perhaps they want to contemplate maybe ending the marriage or, you know, moving on to different things?
I think they've got to be very, very careful here, Sue, because chances of them meeting anybody else are generally rather slender. It's more slender for women than for men, as we know. If things are difficult in lockdown in your relationship as a lady, what to ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I not doing?
So it's a lack. It's very much, they've got to look within at what's lacking in themselves.
Absolutely. And also to know that the minute you step out of that door, you'll forego every right to any of the property, Sue, or the finances. You know, you're basically saying I'm off and, you know, this is now yours. So do think carefully, as Joan says, and, you know, perhaps try and see it out a little bit more and take a look in the mirror, maybe, I'd say. Take a good look in the mirror.
And what about parents who perhaps have children who have, you know, are approaching adolescence during this time, are perhaps, you know, getting a little bit handsy with their own junk, and possibly to an almost worrying extent. What would you say to those parents?
I think for the boys, obviously, it's a very, very natural thing and should be encouraged, really. I mean, not necessarily in front of the parents, but it's a healthy thing to be doing.
Yes, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it, Joan? As you say, you know, some people are in studio, tiny studio flats, and there's no choice but to sort of try and curtain off a corner and, as you say, get amongst your own bits and bobs. You know, if you've got earphones, parents, you can pop those in and leave the teenagers to it. You know.
So I think you can. Okay, visually, you're still going to be experiencing what they're up to, but you've got some lovely music or a nice podcast playing in your ears, and you can always close your eyes, for goodness' sake.
Yes.
We're not animals.
No, but no. Some people are finding pets of great comfort, of course, at the moment, so to varying degrees. So you know, again, you can curtain off a corner and encourage puss round the back there, and you know, it's all sorts of fun to be had, really.
Are you saying this Jerrica puss with the teenagers, or what?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Or if you've got gerbils, whatever you've got really to hand, you know, they're very loving creatures, some of these rodents in particular, and you know, and get very creative. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful creative time, as we've said, and you know, teenagers are no exception.
I mean, it's good that you mentioned there that they're very loving, because some people would say, oh, you know, you know, animal abuse. But as you say, it can be a very nurturing and symbiotic relationship, the lockdown relationship one has with an animal.
Absolutely. Animals have needs too, you know, and, you know, they're not always good at expressing them. And sometimes we have to interpret them for them. But it's tricky times, Sue. Tricky times, tricky measures must be taken.
I think you're absolutely right, Jerrica. I think it's this thing, the same with humans, where an animal often doesn't know what it wants. It doesn't necessarily know that it needs to be made love to, which I think is what we're skirting around here.
Yes.
And I think...
There's no need to beat about a bush here, is there, Joan? I mean, we're in lockdown. Goodness me, people are needing this advice. We may as well be straightforward with it. But yes, lovemaking with a gerbil or any other rodent, larger rodent. You've got rabbits. You've got... as I said at the beginning, people like lizards, you know.
And it doesn't have to be anything. There's nothing violent about it. It can be quite smoochy. It can be nice. You can have a little dinner together, watch a box set.
Lower the lighting, you know, get some nice nibbles out of the cupboard, something special that they wouldn't normally be allowed. And, you know, as Joan says, you know, maybe even a little bath with some shea butter, or you know, all sorts of interesting but you know, moisturizers that you can pop on both yourself and whatever the animal in question is. And you know, and incidentally, if you've got snakes, some of these people who keep snakes, you know, as we know, a snake can swallow an enormous sized anything, really. They've got these dislocating jaws, so you can have some great fun with these animals. And it's just the natural instincts that they're going to follow anyway, so it's just a bit of fun.
But it's a mutually pleasurable. I mean, you have to perhaps interpret that pleasure for the animal, but it's something that you can enjoy together. Do you have any sense from your post bag of what kind of animals people are, you know, seeking out in terms of, you know, intimate relationships?
There's a lot of birds.
Really? That's a lot of birds. I suppose they're everywhere, aren't they?
They are. You can open your window and get them in. You can catch them. A lot of people are going about trying to capture huge amounts of birds and then trapping them in the house and having the way with them. So it's not just the dogs. People seem to think that if you've got a dog, it's going to be that. But actually, and if you live, I don't know, near a heath or something, there's all the ducks and the geese. And you've got to be careful with the swans, because, of course, Our Majesty does own those. And I think you can still, you know, have some interaction with them if you go out late at night. But generally speaking, yes, there's a lot of budgies having these wonderful relationships going on during this period.
Again, people being very creative, popping sort of breadcrumbs around the genitals and just allowing the birds to pop in and peck bits hither and thither and stimulate what needs stimulating. So it's all very mutually consensual and beneficial, for the symbiotic, really.
Well, it's letting nature in, isn't it? Which is what's often spoken about, mainly by interior designers. Let the outside in. So just open the doors. If any woodland creature wants to sort of come and go hither and thither.
Of course, let them in. Yeah. Let them in. I mean, we've all seen these stories of the goats in Llandudno coming and looking for dates around the Welsh village. And, you know, I've seen raccoons entering libraries. You know, it's wonderful how creatures are returning to, you know, their natural urges and, you know, coming into places where we wouldn't normally see them. So this is a wonderful byproduct of this, what some people are describing as this difficult time.
And I suppose by the canal, you must get an awful lot of stray animal life.
Absolutely. I've got access to ducks, geese, swans, Joan says, you have to be careful. Rats, plenty of rats down by the canal, stray puppies, bags of puppies that people have left. There's all sorts of wonderful things available. And if you only know where to look, you know, sometimes I think people don't always open their eyes. But there's plenty of, there's goat down by the riverside the other day and looking very lost. But he's settled in. So it's wonderful. Wonderful horns, incidentally, there, which need a lot of polishing. But, you know, we're getting very friendly and it's wonderful. It's a very precious time, this. And, you know, I, for one, don't mind how long it goes on for, Sue. I'm very happy.
Well, I mean, it's given you the chance to buff a stray goat's horns, and where else would you get? I mean, you know, it's there are marvellous opportunities to be had in the sadness. Yeah. In terms of the castle, what kind of, I mean, I'm imagining rather manicured lawns. I mean, do you have a lot of wildlife there?
Oh, plenty, Sue, yes. And of course, you know, they're going to be bringing back wolves and wild boars to Britain and Scotland, aren't they? So we've already started that process up here. So there's plenty of these gorgeous, I mean, they're sexy as hell, these wolves, these lupine little guys wandering about. And obviously as well, we have plenty of Aberdeen Angus cows and pigs. And yeah, it's I'm living in a sort of wonderful sort of jungle up here, to be honest. And it's a mixture of enjoying intimate times with these creatures and eating them. It's fabulous.
It's a knife edge, though, isn't it? It's a balance, that, as a carnivore, where the loving stops and the food preparation begins.
Yes, I find if you sort of stop speaking to them a week before, you know, sort of lower their expectations a little bit.
Yes, you've got to get a bit sulky with them, haven't you, and start sort of freezing them out as you would with a relationship that's gone a bit wrong. You need to start shunning them and giving them dirty looks, that sort of thing.
Yeah, standoffish, blaming them for things that happen around the house, that sort of thing, so that they begin to wonder what went wrong, and then it's not such a shock.
No, because they're so depressed and they're ready to go.
They've made the transition away from the relationship.
Indeed.
So do you sense in that way it's a sort of a mercy killing? You get to the stage where you sort of psychologically put them into such a dark space that death almost comes as a welcome release.
It's a sweet embrace, Sue, yes, as I think it will be for many humans when it comes.
It's a wonderful little sleep which rounds our lives, and twas ever thus, Sue.
And this is the reason why I've always been a fan, is there's that deep pragmatism that you both share. There's a sort of waste not, want not kind of back to basics energy that permeates all your advice. It's just good common sense, isn't it?
Thank you, Sue.
Bless you.
It's certainly proved very, very helpful to me over the years.
Oh, really?
Well, just to make me realise how wrong I am, really, and how selfish to pursue a sexual life with women, whereas all of that sexual animus could have gone into possibly giving pleasure to men. And I thank you for that. I mean, it has created feelings of guilt and self-loathing, but the learning has been very powerful.
Good.
I'm very grateful, Sue, that you still accept all the little letters and postcards we send to you daily to, you know, criticise this, if you don't mind me using that word, your way of life and your, as you say, your selfishness. I think you've managed to be very open, I have to say, with taking the advice.
Yes, and you know, unfortunately with cardinals, she takes you rather literally, and so I'm afraid you're sort of spreading a not always a great word out to people there, Sue, but it's wonderful to hear that you do understand and that you are trying your best. I'm feeling a lot. I'm feeling a lot of guilt, which is wonderful to hear.
The guilt, I mean, I have to say, and it's good we're talking like this, you know, we've known each other for a while. The start...
Can I just ask, Sue, are we turning this into a therapy Skype session? Because if we are, we will have to charge just a little bit at the end of it. We can sort that out.
We can start whatever the timer now.
Okay, if we start, and just a couple of minutes, but I know you do charge by the minute. I seem to remember.
By the second.
Yes. Actually, whatever works for you.
It's a bit more. It's doubled up during the lockdown, but we can still, we're happy, very happy to go for it.
Plus with the VAT, that
of
will
course,
be
all, and that's of
still,
course.
At, still at 20% inexplicably, but.
And the expenses, are you still, you still charge expenses? I seem to remember.
Those will be popped on top. Yes. So there's the canapes and the drinks and the sort of massage halfway through, etc. That's very stressful for us.
Well, I understand, because what I'm doing is I'm draining you, as I've drained so many people over the years. I'm taking something. And so, of course, you know, I'm very happy to provide finance. What I would say, if the clock is starting, is that when we first met, the post bag from you guys was, I mean, the word overwhelming was, it felt like a sort of onslaught. But that's part of that brutality is part of the shock treatment that you guys use, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a wake-up call, really. I think some people are just sort of sleepwalking through their lives and need a bit of a smack around the bottom and a wake-up call. And that's what we were trying to do, Sue, really give you a good smack on the bottom and a wake-up call.
Because a lot of people, they go to therapy and the therapist, you know, they say, I feel depressed. And the therapist says, I hear you feel depressed. This is really a waste of time. You need strong answers from people, and that is what we're going to give you. We're going to give you advice, and you need to follow it. And if you don't follow it, no surprise that your life's still not working.
Right, so.
It's certainly, some of the letters, you know, they would just be, you know, quite brutal. You know, you're a wrong'un. Your life is filth.
Yes, I mean, there's one line of postcards that proved very useful, actually, and the picture of a beheaded corpse and those words on the back have proved quite a wake-up call, and people have enjoyed receiving those, actually, and kept them, framed them.
It just keeps you on track, I find, and you never, as you say, Joan, with conventional therapy, it's too loving. You feel too held and too guided through those dark moments. What you want is an abusive memo just pop through the door, sometimes by hand, I've noticed, and just reminding you that your life choices are awry.
Well, we have a network of volunteers who will go around and push things through people's letterboxes, wonderful support that we have across the country, people who will deliver their own stools sometimes through a letterbox. So you'll have received those, I'm no doubt, on many occasions, various bits and bobs that come out of our offices, tissues and tampons that you will have received.
A lot of Jerrica's old pants and so forth have been posted about the country, haven't they?
I think I had a couple, yes. There must have been, yeah.
And some of those have gone on to be auctioned actually on eBay and have raised a lot of money for charities. So it's a sort of double hit, really.
Have you found a lot of, you know, you've had a lot of success with that kind of marshalling of people's focus, you know, in the lesbian community? Have you found it's worked?
Absolutely, yes.
We've had a 3% success rate, I believe, in terms of converting lesbians, as it were.
Conversion therapy, which is so wonderful, which they're pressing ahead with so well within America. It's very, again, very inspiring. Many states across America are doing a very, very good job at these wonderful training camps, which I tried to get Cardinal to go to one, where they basically will strip you of all sense and encourage you to take your own life if you can't actually change, which is really very wonderful work, very, very well guided people running these events.
Have you ever thought of running a workshop like that, Joan? Have you ever thought about, you know, making it a sort of yearly thing or a biannual thing?
Well, I am looking into something at the moment, Sue, which is a sort of Tuscan retreat where I have another property, and we're thinking about running something out there. It's a sort of do or die type week whereby you will live or die at the end of the week according to how you've got on with the therapy we're offering. And, it's quite pricey, but there's gorgeous food available and lots of pampering and this sort of thing if you're doing well.
And what's the metric of doing well in that instance? I mean, what are you doing? A sort of constant sort of multiple choice just to try and see where people are at sexually? How does it work?
Yes, answering questions correctly, really, isn't it, Jerrica? Mm-hmm. It's doing as we say. I mean,
yes, taking the advice, waking up and you know, smelling the coffee, Sue. And you know, we have we test people. We have verbal answers. We have written answers. We also have these wonderful brain pod scans where we can tell if people are really taking it on board or not. So it's a very complex, very scientific analysis where we flash pictures up, don't we? Joan, of naked women, and we ask for a response, and yes, I'm afraid it's pretty obvious pretty quickly how people are responding.
And these brain electrodes we put on the scalp can actually read the thoughts within the mind. It's a new thing, and everybody's been wanting this for years, haven't they? Mm.
Unfortunately, Cardinal's head is very, very big, as you may know, so we can't get these nodes onto her scalp, so she's still a mystery. But everyone else, we can pop one of these caps on, and within minutes we can assess whether you're going to be going home a new person, or unfortunately perhaps heading out the back to the sheds.
Oh, so you have a selection of, I'm presuming a selection of sheds, but
sheds,
or is it one shed? Oh, pen.
So a shed, it's a sort of the goodbye shed, really. And it's obviously a few people will be there at the end.
But in many ways, it's, and I've only come to realise this through you guys and through your teaching and the almost, as I say, constant onslaught of mail and excreta through the post. It's merciful, really, to end in the Joan and Jerrica shed, because sometimes the gay life can be, a very, very difficult one.
Mm, exactly. And you're struggling and going against the tide all the time, and just let go, for goodness sake. It's, it's a waste of energy, isn't it?
If I could ask a question, Sue, is what would you say were the primary problems as a gay lady? When you say there's lots of difficulties, what are they?
Well, I mean, I never, to be honest, really encountered that. You know, I led up until I met you guys, a very, very joyful life. But meeting you put a few questions in there that really fermented over time and created, I mean, in retrospect, I think a breakdown. Which let's refer to as the realization. It's just that it's a selfish life when you could just all that spare energy. I mean, even just as a sideline, you could be just giving to the guys who were, as you say, struggling.
Cooking meat, and pleasing your guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an older offering now, but I mean, I don't know if you think that somebody like me still has something to offer in the autumn of my sexual life to a guy.
That's limited.
I mean, yes, I think that we might be able to hook you up with a couple of very elderly gentlemen that we know.
Yes, we've got some addresses and numbers that we could send you, and these very nice, not always terribly clean, but very well-meaning elderly gents who are looking for love in the twilight of their lives.
And presumably best not to tell them my sexual background, because at their age they're vulnerable, they don't want to know the filth of my...
Do you know, well, Sue, I'll be honest, these guys would probably find it very, very sexy, and it could actually up your chances with them if you're really serious about this path, and I hope you are, about actually this could lead to marriage by the end of it, and that would make both Jerrica and myself so, so happy.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, I know, yes. I know that
you've
really tried, and I want to thank you as well, because even though friends of mine have really queried our friendship, I think it has, over time, got me onto a better track.
Into a better place, yes. Good. I wonder if you might give Cardinal a call and try and drum some sense into her, because she doesn't seem to take any notice of me.
Well, one can only try. I mean, are you posting things to her? I mean, I know she lives in the house.
Well, we live in the same house.
Are you bombarding her in that relentless sort of fashion?
Well, not really, Sue, because what happens is, if I do try and do any bombarding, she just trashes the house. And I mean, literally trashes it. She rips up floorboards and throws televisions out of the window. And she's very, very strong. She did a dry stone walling course and built up a lot of muscle, injecting steroids along the way. And she's got a lot of friends. And so I live in fear of my life, really, if I pass any judgment on these folk that come round. But I think a phone call from you would be a wonderful game changer, let's say.
Well, you know, I could give it a go. I mean, our time's almost up, but I just wanted to ask you to reach out to listeners and just to give, if you wouldn't mind, just a final sort of piece of advice in these difficult times. Jim, what do you think the best practice is for people at the moment in the home to keep themselves healthy and their relationships alive?
I think for me, I mean, this is me, it's about looking good. I think it's absolutely about being photo ready. It's about wearing plenty of makeup, gorgeous clothes, dieting as much as possible, exercising as much as possible, you know, keeping up appearances. People seem to think that they're somehow invisible. They're not. We do know the government has cameras absolutely everywhere. So if you think you can slop about at home like some lazy old pig, then think again, because that's not acceptable.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say, you know, make sure you keep everything fresh and steamed down below, and think about soaking a tampon in some plain yogurt and popping that up every hour. And then finally, I'd say, for goodness sake, wear yourself a decent bra. This lockdown boob is not going to be something that men are going to find attractive at the end of all of this.
Well, as always, it's refreshing. It's been very, very refreshing. And I, after speaking to you, I always feel a little jumbled. I won't lie, a little jumbled and confused, and perhaps ready for a different type of therapy.
Yeah. Well, you look quite teary, Sue.
Yes.
What we like to see.
But as you say, it's. That's where the work happens, isn't it? When the tears come, that's when the work started.
Indeed, absolutely. Indeed. Very best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. And please do send that invoice as per. You've got my details, haven't you? Or just take it straight from the account like you did last time.
It's actually gone through.
Yes, it's pinged in, Sue, so you'll have that now.
That's great. Listen, guys, thank you. And we'll speak again. Thank you.
God bless.
Once again, some classic, no-nonsense and absolutely correct advice from National Treasures Joan and Jerrica. And they've announced their first foray into books. You can pre-order your copy of Why He Turns Away, Do's and Don'ts from Joan and Jerrica now, before it's published on the 29th of October. And signed copies will be available from Waterstones then. And thanks once again to Waiting for Smith for allowing us to use their magnificent tune for the intros and outros of this podcast. I'll be heading east to find my peace where the desert feasts.